Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Many of us here today have served in the armed forces. I remember when I was in Navy boot camp at Great Lakes in July of 1991. My company had 100 young men in it, and there were four companies in my division, and there were 20 active divisions on the base at that time. That's roughly 8,000 calorie-hungry recruits, plus all the staff that is necessary to support them. And I remember being amazed at the amount of food that was available to me at each and every meal. However, and those of us who are in the military remember, you quickly learned not to take too much, because you only had 10 minutes to eat, and leaving anything on the tray would earn you a vicious tongue lashing from your company commander. The base had a dining hall that sat six companies of recruits at a time, and it fed all of them efficiently. And the amount of staff and food and preparation and the logistics needed to prepare and feed all the recruits is just simply astounding. In the gospel reading, Jesus alone feeds 4,000 men. And this is the 4,000 men plus all the women and children that were with them. And here we see a twofold promise that Christ offers to his people. He promises that he will feed them spiritually and physically. And Jesus provides food for the souls of those that hear him, and he provides food for their physical needs also. All this he accomplishes by his word and by giving us our daily bread. In Matthew chapter 6, our Lord Jesus says, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." In essence, God is saying, don't worry about hunger or earthly possessions, but rather you should primarily be concerned with hearing my word. I will feed you spiritually and physically with daily bread. And this is the primary lesson to be learned, to make God's word your chief concern. And having done that, be assured that our Lord Jesus Christ will also provide for your daily needs. In the Garden of Eden, God provided food for Adam and Eve. He made everything, including Adam and Eve. The Old Testament reading describes the Garden of Eden as a lush and fertile place. Adam, no doubt, did some garden tending, but it was not sweaty toil. The Garden of Eden was a precious gift that was given by God. It had everything that the first man and woman needed to live, including the presence of God as God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. Everything they needed, God gave to them as a gift. But Adam and Eve did not obey God's commandment. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Adam and Eve destroyed the relationship they had with God when they coveted and took what did not belong to them. Adam and Eve lost the gifts that God had given them. They were expelled from the garden, and now they were hungry, both physically and spiritually. Along with their sin came sickness, famine, weeds, hard labor in the field, storms, pain in childbirth, and death. For the wages of sin is death. The sin of Adam and Eve brought death, destruction, and separation to all mankind. And our lives are no Garden of Eden either. For the world seeks to steal and rob others of food and possessions that do not belong to them. We too have to work hard to put food on our tables and to sustain our families. And all of this goes back to Adam and Eve. But we are not the victims in this situation. We are just as culpable as Adam and Eve. We sin when we go places that God has forbidden us to go. We sin when we desire to take what God has not given to us. We sin when we tell God what to do and when and how we want Him to do it. We sin when God shows us that something we desire is not in His good and gracious will, yet we stubbornly persist in dictating to God how things are supposed to be. Like the Israelites who complained about manna, which God had graciously given to them in the wilderness, we complain about what God has graciously given to us as our daily bread. We are like a child who complains to his mother, "I didn't want sloppy joes, I wanted steak. I don't like what you have prepared for me." And this is the most common sin we commit. It is the essence of all sin, the first commandment. We do not fear, love, and trust God above all things. We want to be our own God. We worship the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. In the gospel reading, a large crowd has been following Jesus and listening to him preach. And after 3 days of listening to Jesus teach and preach, they end up in a desolate place, and they have nothing to eat. And here's the point of the gospel reading today. The crowd was so focused on the word of Christ, the very bread of life, that they either ignored or put off eating just so they could spend one more moment listening to Jesus. Their primary concern at that time was to hear the life-giving word of Jesus, not physically eating. However, like many things in life, you can only ignore or forget about your physical needs for so long, and then it will become an urgent matter. Think about when you were a child and you would be outside playing, only to realize that after your stomach growled ferociously, you forgot to eat lunch. You were so engrossed in the ball game or whatever adventure you were on, you forgot all about lunch. And suddenly you realized, "I need to eat," and you went home as quickly as possible to eat, only to find out that your mother had declared the kitchen to be closed. You'll have to wait till supper. And this is the predicament of the crowd that follows Jesus. But Jesus does not neglect them. Jesus has compassion for the crowd, and he wants to feed them because he knows physically some of them may not make the journey home before they can eat. Our gospel text in English says that Jesus had compassion for the crowd. And as some of you have got to know me over the year, you know that words are hard for me, just evidenced by me reading the Old Testament. It had lots of hard words in it. But words are hard, but here I'm going to tell you about the Greek word that is used here. It's almost an onomatopoeia. That's a word that sounds like something that it is. We might say, instead of compassion, we might say, "His heart went out to them." That's fair translation, but perhaps it's weak. The Greek word is splagidzomai. You hear that? Splagidzomai. It's almost kind of gross. And actually what it means is to be moved in your inward guts, like you had a gut-wrenching feeling of deep sorrow. Jesus was moved deeply in his guts. And this is not just typical American sympathy like you see in commercials where someone tries to guilt you into sending money. But our Savior experienced sickening, gut-wrenching compassion for the crowd that had faithfully followed him and listened to him, and he wanted to feed them. St. Mark records for us, "And Jesus took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they set them before the crowd." Jesus teaches us that we should use what God gives us, no matter what it is or how little it is, and accept it with thanksgiving. He also teaches us that he wants to bless it so that it may prosper and suffice and even grow in our hands. And Jesus, filled with gut-wrenching compassion for the crowd, takes the 7 loaves and the few fish and feeds the entire great multitude. And this is a miracle, as we know that 7 loaves and a few fishes would have hardly fed 20 men. Yet Jesus gives them a meager food supply. He turns it into food that feeds all of them. And they all were satisfied. No one was left hungry. This miraculous feeding shows us Jesus' great compassion for mankind. Jesus has compassion for the crowd that followed him, and he has compassion for you. And Jesus' greatest act of compassion is demonstrated on the cross. You see, we have a problem we cannot fix. Sin's price has only one demand, and it demands our death. But Jesus, in his great compassion for mankind, willingly went to the cross, suffered and died on your behalf. And so much does Jesus care about you and move to save you that he became your sin on the cross and paid the ransom price for your soul. And by his resurrection on the 3rd day, Jesus defeated sin, death, and the devil once and for all. Just like God gave Adam and Eve the gifts of his creation in the garden, God freely gives you the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. You cannot earn it. You cannot be righteous outside of Christ. Yet in his great compassion for you, Jesus freely gives to you forgiveness and eternal life. Jesus' compassion goes out to all people. God's word is our life source. God's word gives us comfort and peace. It nurtures and sustains us. It creates faith in us and brings us to salvation. For Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God." Indeed, daily bread is necessary for our temporal lives, but God's word is necessary for our spiritual lives. The more you neglect God's food, the hungrier and spiritually weaker you will become. Seek after the life-giving word of God, for when you seek after the word of God, God promises to give you your daily bread. And we echo St. Peter as he says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Only Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, has the words of eternal life. Jesus feeds you his word as you learn and study together in Bible study. Jesus feeds you his word as the pastor preaches the sermon. Jesus feeds you his word as you listen to the scriptures read in the divine service. Jesus feeds you his word as he baptizes you at the font. Jesus feeds you his word as you hear the absolution of your sins by his servant, the pastor, and acts in the stead and command of our Lord Jesus Christ. You hear his word as you sing hymns and chant the liturgy together. And Jesus, your manna from heaven, feeds you his word at the altar where you receive his true body and blood at the sacrament of the altar for the forgiveness of your sins. And Jesus is here with you in the desert of our earthly lives. You follow him and you seek his word. And just as the fishes and loaves fed the hungry people, so also God promises to provide you with your daily bread. See, there's not one God who takes care of your spiritual needs and another God who takes care of your earthly needs, but there is one God who takes care of all your needs, spiritual and in your body. Jesus showed compassion to the 4,000 hungry people, and the Holy Spirit caused St. Mark to record this for us so that we may learn to see Jesus as our Creator and God who provides us with all our needs of body and soul. The compassion of Christ is not primarily seen in the feeding of the 4,000, but in his death on the cross and in his resurrection. For Jesus suffered for you. Jesus took away your sins and he made you free. Jesus is your Lord and God who brings you your daily bread and secures your future. And Jesus' compassion for you is boundless, and he knows and supplies every need of body and soul. So seek the food which endures to everlasting life, for you do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In the name of Jesus, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.